everyone. It's Diane with New Jersey Revolution Radio. First, we have a guest with us this evening, but before we get to that, we have to do our ask. So as you all know, viewers, we are dependent on your small donations. So please go to our website at njrevolutionradio.com to make a contribution. And also, I want to talk about a very special event we have coming up. It is a co-sponsored event the following weekend, December 15th, a Saturday. It is at 6 p.m. at Emmanuel Lutheran Church in New Brunswick. That is at New and Kirkpatrick Streets. And this is going to be a very special small screening of the documentary Alt-Right, Age of Rage. And we're also going to have a Q&A with the man who was featured in the documentary, Daryl Lamont Jenkins. So it's a very special event. There is a Facebook event, so please check that out and share it with your friends, and hope to see you Saturday, December 15th. And tonight, our guest is Agnes Marsala. Is that correct?
That's correct.
And Agnes is with People Over Pipelines. Is that correct?
That's correct. Yes.
Okay. What is your role with People Over Pipelines?
Well, I'm the president of the, it's a grassroots organization that fights the pipelines, specifically the Southern Reliability Link.
Okay. And can you give us a little bit of the history of People Over Pipelines? When did this organization form? About how long have you guys been around?
Sure. Well, personally, in 2015, I was asked to videotape a presentation at our local environmental committee meeting from Food and Water Watch. And I learned that a compressor station was coming into our town that was going to compress a huge amount of methane for a 30-inch pipe transmission line that was going to go right down the middle of our town through the pine lands, through all these little farmlands close to schools, houses, churches, farms, businesses, sometimes as close as 27 feet from people's front door.
Wow.
Yeah. And, I was astounded. I just couldn't believe it. And this was the first we were hearing about it. So we formed People Over Pipelines because, you know, we were getting very frustrated singularly as individuals trying to go to the BPU or to our township. Eventually our township did come on board, and they are now, you know, suing. They're in court over this pipeline, but initially I don't think our township understood the ramifications. I don't want to say that the committee men were, let's just put it this way, they were ill-informed. So the dangers and the other ramifications of this pipeline through our township. And it was an education for them as well. And as we all got educated together, we started fighting this. And now there's almost no town in New Jersey, I think, that's not affected by these plans for huge transmission lines to bring fracked gas from Pennsylvania through our state. And we just don't need it.
Yeah, absolutely. I know I'm in, I guess you'd say North Jersey. There's debate about that, whether we're central, north, et cetera.
Right, I get that.
Yeah, and, between gas pipelines, we even, right now I believe it's still halted. The Pilgrim pipeline goes in pretty locally in my neighborhoods. So, yeah, it's just so distressing, this sort of spider web of pipelines on top of pipelines.
Exactly.
I see in some areas there's even gas pipelines next to oil, oil pipelines, and a lot of them where they run for these areas that have the room, they tend to also be near the high tension power lines as well. Yeah. So it's such a disaster waiting to happen with all of these.
That's right.
If something blows, you're going to have the power.
High tension wires spark.
Yeah.
And, you know, they have a habit of sparking, and say there's a leak, one of these high pressure lines springs a leak around the high tension line, sparking. It's a recipe for disaster. And again, we don't need it. We don't need any more gas in our state. We are chock full of gas. This gas isn't for us. It's for New York.
Mm-hmm.
It's for export. It's for the Marcus Hook export lines that are going in, the plants that are going into LNG plants that are starting to build so that they can export it overseas, because there's a glut of gas in the Marcellus Shale area, you know, in Pennsylvania, and they want to make money off of it. But, you know, the governor, the new governor, said he's going to, you know, adhere to the Paris Accords, even though Trump isn't. Murphy said he would, and, you know, try and get a handle on climate change. Well, the first thing he should do is stop all new fossil fuel infrastructure. And he could do that, you know.
Did he make any campaign promises in regards to pipelines, and with this specific pipeline that goes through the Pinelands? Did he make or imply that he was going to take action on these?
Well, yes. I mean, I asked Jeff Tittle, who the head of the New Jersey Sierra Club, about this when they came out and endorsed Murphy during the campaign, if he was able to pin him down specifically on pipelines. And, you know, they're slippery. And, you know, I think Jeff thought he had made a commitment to pipelines, but he's definitely made a commitment to fossil fuel, curbing fossil fuel usage and getting New Jersey back on a green path. And, you know, he's supposed to be this environmentally friendly guy. And, yes, it was implied that because we asked him, we certainly asked him as a group, you know, are you going to do something about these pipelines? You know, about this methane that's coming in that we don't need. And, you know, they're just so slippery that they give the non-answer, you know.
So you don't know for sure that he said he was going to try to stop some of the construction, but he said a political pivot, switch around.
Yeah, it's always just so vague and slippery. But in my, you know, in everything I've seen, yes, it's implied that he was, you know, he's got this whole big new master energy plan that he's working on, and he had public hearings on that, and a lot of people, you know, person after person after person, please stop, you know, the Penn East, the Franklin compressor station, the two pipelines through the Pinelands. The Pinelands, on a map, the Pinelands just looks like a big empty space.
Okay, yeah.
And to developers, it just looks like green, and not the green that you and I think of. They don't look at that empty space and see money. Like, let's develop that. Why aren't we developing this land? And that's what Christie thought. And to that end, he changed the Pinelands Commission that twice denied the South Jersey gas pipeline through the Pinelands, to the point where, you know, Christie said, well, I got to get these commissioners out of here and get some friendly commissioners. So he did, and he changed, you know, the whole focus of not just the commission, the Pinelands Commission, but the DEP. They're now more concerned with economics than they are with protecting the environment or protecting the Pinelands.
Yeah, and I thought the Pinelands Commission's, you know, major duty was to protect and preserve the Pinelands.
It is. That's what the the CMP is all about. The Comprehensive Management Plan is all about that. But they've chosen time and again under Christie to ignore their own rules and to allow, you know, development and grant permits in violation of the CMP. That's why they're being sued by the Pinelands Preservation Alliance, the Sierra Club, food, you know, and all these other environmental groups. So.
And I know you mentioned two pipelines. Are they both under construction right now, or is one completed and one under construction?
No, neither are under construction, except that Monday, there's this one little tiny bit that is not in the courts or has not been denied a road opening permit. And that's in Ocean County, in Plumstead Township. And that's where the SRL has started construction on Monday. But it's been, we've been delaying it now for, you know, 3 years, over 3 years. And, you know, we think that they just had New Jersey Resources, that owns New Jersey Natural Gas, just had their conference call with their investors, which they do leading up to the beginning of the fiscal year every year. I think their investors are getting a little wary, a little, you know, is this going to happen or not? Should I pull out?
Yeah.
To allay those fears, I think they wanted to show them something. Mm-hmm. So they are going ahead at their own risk.
Okay.
They think that in their notice to Plumstead Township, that they're going ahead in, at their own risk with putting this length of pipeline in. Less than a mile right now, Fisher Road. But, you know, it's sneaky because if they get this pipe in and then they come before a court, you know, at the to make their closing arguments, you know, the judge now has to weigh the cost of throwing away this pipe. He's not supposed to, but he's a human being. Is he going to throw away all that economic burden of all that pipe that's already in the ground? That's going to weigh into his decision. And that's what they're counting on. If we can get some of it started, then maybe he'll just say, oh, well, we're at the point of no return. Let's just build it. So that's the sneaky. The South Jersey gas pipeline, the one that's further south, no, that has not been started at all.
Okay, so the South Jersey pipeline has not been started, but this pipeline,
South Jersey gas, right.
SRL, has just started this week on Monday. And you're saying they're, you know, taking their own risk because they don't have full approval for the entire project at this time?
That's correct. People over pipelines are in litigation with them.
Okay.
We had a partial win, in the 3rd District, we had a partial win. And the Sierra Club, Pinelands Preservation Alliance, both township of Chesterfield and the township of Bordentown are also suing parts of this pipeline. So it's in litigation all up and down the pipeline.
Okay, good.
But there's this, they're starting in the middle.
Okay, I'm sure, like you said, that's a tactic to say, you know,
it's very underhanded.
Yeah, that the judge may consider the money put in, but they should be, you know, they should be taking that risk on themselves.
They are, but I'm sure it will come up.
Yeah, and it shouldn't. It shouldn't, but I'm sure they'll sneak that in anyway. That's terrible. So what do you want? What can our viewers do today? Because we have viewers throughout the state and, you know, even perhaps anyone who cares even outside of the state.
New Jerseyans overwhelmingly vote time and time again for preserving open space. We love open space because we know it's a premium in our state.
Absolutely.
And what you could do is call the governor at 609-292-6000 every day, all day, from 9 to 5.
Okay.
They're very nice. If you don't get through, just keep trying.
Okay. And
tell the governor how you feel about preserving the Pinelands, that he needs to stop the SRL pipeline right now. He can. He can declare a moratorium on all new fossil fuel infrastructure. And that's what we want him to do. Because he could do that right now with the stroke of a pen and put a stop to all of these pipelines until, you know, we get a chance to look at the nefarious things that Chris Christie did.
Yeah.
You know, I mean, they changed the ruling for what's called horizontal directional drilling, where they drill underneath of wetlands and underneath of streams and waterways. And it's supposed to be safer, but it's not. And one of the things that they did was they changed the setback rule where you could only drill up to a certain amount of feet from a wetlands barrier. Well, they moved that up.
And what is a wetlands barrier?
Well, the barrier, the part where a wetlands transitions from a wetland to a regular space.
Okay.
So wetlands are marshes and other waterways that recharge the aquifer. So we need wetlands.
Yeah.
To have fresh water. You know, if you look at New Jersey, the water table is like, you know, close. We all kind of share the same water if you go down deep enough.
Sure. It's all connected. Yeah.
The Pinelands recharge 17 trillion gallons of some of the cleanest water in the world.
Wow.
We don't want to lose that. So this horizontal directional drilling, maybe the pipe will never leak, but the drilling itself, they use chemicals to drill with. The sludge, it's called sludge. It just changes the ecosystem in such a way that it changes the aquifer. And, you know, they're just willing to gamble with our water. And I don't think we should let them do that.
Yeah. So and
call the governor and tell him how you feel about your own drinking water. We are the protectors of the water here. We have to protect it. Just like the people protected the Keystone Pipeline waterways. It's up to us to protect our water. So call the governor. You can, you know, start your own group or you could join ours. You could go to People Over Pipelines Facebook page.
Okay.
And come to a meeting. We're considering some more, you know, forward thinking tactics. Mm-hmm. Now that they've started construction, we're going to have to step up our game a little bit. So, yeah.
So there might be some direct action down the road?
Yeah, it might not be too far down the road.
But okay. Yeah.
So we're going to look for volunteers for that, you know, people that want to just get really down into it, you know.
Okay. And so we want our viewers to call Governor Murphy, and they should specifically state that they want a halt to the SRL pipeline that's going through the Pinelands. But we want them to take it a step further. We have these projects throughout the state. So, you know, he's just coming up on his 1-year anniversary. So let's tell him, you know, if he wants to have that progressive title, he's got to start giving us progress, right?
Not just photo ops.
Give us real progress.
Right, real progress. A moratorium on all new fossil fuel infrastructure would be a great start.
Yeah. Or
something as simple as changing the chair of the Pinelands Commission to someone, you know, who actually likes the Pinelands.
Yeah. 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 Now's the time to reconfigure, to have maybe some people that actually have expertise in environmental protection, perhaps an activist or two that has been doing the work like you yourself have been doing would be an ideal candidate.
And, you know, at, the 7 counties that are in the Pinelands or touch the Pinelands, each one of those counties has one commissioner that they can appoint.
Okay.
So if you're in one of those counties, if you're in the Pinelands counties, you can ask your freeholders to appoint commissioners that like the Pinelands, that like clean air and clean water.
Yeah.
And go to freeholder meetings. I mean, we've been trying in Burlington County, but, you know, we finally have some Democrats now, hopefully with the blue wave, that will listen to us. But our county has been just terrible with the freeholders, with the appointment of Sean Erland to the freehold, to the commission, and he's the chairman, and he's just the worst.
So yeah, we should all engage, like you're saying, go to county freeholder meetings, go to the Pineland Commission meetings, find out what's going on. Usually at these meetings, there's time for public comments, correct?
Yes.
Is, I guess with the Pinelands Commission, is it too late now or can they be?
No, actually, there's a Pinelands Commission meeting. I think the next Pinelands Commission meeting is the 14th.
Oh, the 14th of December. So that's next week?
Yes. Now, unfortunately, these meetings are during the day when most people work.
Yeah.
So you can always go to the Pinelands Commission website and find out the place and time. It's in Pemberton, New Jersey. It's usually 9 o'clock in the morning on a work day. So, you know, I don't know if they do that on purpose or what, but.
You know, Probably. Are some of people from your organization or other activist groups, are they going to be present at the December 14th?
Yes. We'll be there. And the Pinelands Preservation Alliance, they're great people. The PPA, you know, they're always there and they're always videotaping it. So you can always see a live later on, you can see.
Okay, great. And I know we're talking about the water, but the Pinelands itself has some unique characteristics. And
It is a national preserve, and it's been recognized as an international biopreserve by the UN. So yeah, there are plants and animals in the Pinelands that are unique and found nowhere else in the world. So, I mean, and it's a beautiful place. And, you know, the Pinelands, that's great. But when most people think of the pines, they think of the Pine Barrens.
Mm-hmm.
It's unfortunate that that's the name that stuck, because it's not barren.
Mm-hmm.
It's thriving, beautiful, and vital to the health of not just New Jersey, but the whole East Coast. So, it's not just where, you know, Tony Soprano buries bodies. You know, it's something that we should be, you know, proud of and you know, from just like the highlands or the the shore. It's a jewel in New Jersey that we need to really take care of.
Absolutely. Yeah. So let's see. We have our next steps. We're all calling Governor Murphy.
Good.
Start at 9 o'clock tomorrow morning.
That's right.
Everyone's Facebook page, which is People Over Pipelines, is how they'll find the Facebook page, correct?
That's right.
Okay, excellent. And yeah, you know, maybe with this being Governor Murphy's first year, with that, you know, several weeks back, that terrifying report from the UN about, you know, 12 years, you know, hopefully we can, you know, push a stance that he is trying to align with.
I think, you know, the first step to, you know, getting out of the hole that we're in is to stop digging.
Mm-hmm.
Put the shovel down.
Mm-hmm.
And you know, we need to stop right now and declare this moratorium and take a look around, you know, and find out, you know, the damage that Christie has done.
Mm.
It's going to take, you know, all of us to undo. You know? Mm-hmm. I mean, the culture at the DEP, I mean, he changed the mission statement and the vision statement at the DEP to more heavily weight economics. This is the Department of Environmental Protection.
Mm.
I mean, it's crazy. So we need to take control of our state. We need to take it back.
Yeah, and get involved, get in your environmental commissions locally, county-wise.
Go to township committee meetings and find out what's happening, because they sneak this stuff through, especially little towns like mine. You know, we have a really small population here. We're farmers. And that's how they snuck it in. You know, they threaten you with eminent domain. And this pipeline has no eminent domain on it at all. Because, they, you know, it's the interstate. It's not between two states. It's just in New Jersey. So they might threaten you with eminent domain, but they're not going to get eminent domain.
They're not going to be able to. It wouldn't be.
And they've already said they're not going to use eminent domain in their filings. So, but they threaten it. They go to individual people, individual farmers and such, and say, we're going to take it anyway. So why don't you just give us an easement? So these are the things that we've found out by our, you know, getting involved and really, you know, digging in. But if we don't do it, no one else will, you know.
Yeah, and early on you said that, you know, this was a learning process, even with your local committee people and local government representatives.
Yes.
So you've been at this since about 2015, is that correct?
Yes.
So how did you educate the public? What did you do back when you first heard about this?
Well, we started first by going to committee meetings to find out, you know, what's going on here. Because, like I said, our committee didn't really understand it either. They saw it as a ratable. No, because there's a compressor station that had to go in first.
Okay.
And they thought, oh, we'll just get some taxes from that or whatever. And they didn't understand the downside, because it was explained to them as just a booster station. Well, that might be true, but that's a little disingenuous. So when we started going, we're like, what's going on here? We kind of took our committee by surprise, and more people kept on coming. You know, we might be farmers, but we're not stupid, you know? I mean, and there are actually a lot of people that moved to this area because of its, you know, rural nature. And they enjoy that kind of life. They have horses or whatnot.
Yeah.
So, you know, as more and more people started coming and finding out, we would hold, we held forums, educational forums. We invited the Sierra Club. We invited Food and Water Watch to do educational forums. And we got people up to speed. And then, you know, by law, the DEP was required to hold public forums, public hearings, which we just blew up.
Good.
So, you know, the fire marshal had to shut it down. They had to
continue.
So, but again, it fell on deaf ears. Because, yes, there's public comment, but in the past it used to be hearings with expert testimony sworn in.
Okay.
Now it's just public comment where, oh, okay, thanks for your comment. And they do what they want anyway.
Wow.
That's what we have to change, because the culture of the DEP has changed so far from when, say, Governor Florio or even McGreevy were there, you know, or Corzine.
Yeah.
I mean, in the 8 years Christie has managed, you know, I mean, I know everyone's aware of the terrible deal he made with Exxon.
Oh, the settlement.
The settlement.
I mean,
that's just the tip of the iceberg of how he's been in bed with the fossil fuel industry. So, you know, we have no frack gas or oil fields in New Jersey. But we stand in the way of all that frack gas in Pennsylvania getting to the ocean. Or getting to New York City or to Boston or wherever else they think they need it. We certainly don't need it. No one's lights are going to go out if we don't get that gas.
No, no, there's no shortage right now. We need to be moving into renewables.
Exactly.
Yeah, and poor tiny New Jersey, we're so little, but it's the ports. And like you're saying, that we're not even going to be using the liquid natural gas or the oil.
People think that methane is clean. Well, it burns cleaner, but it does still release CO2s. And the extraction method is really, the CO2s it releases is terrible. But even burning it, releases CO2, so you just can't see it. It's not a cloud of smoke, you know?
Yeah.
But if you get an infrared camera, oh, you can see it.
Wow.
Yeah.
Yeah. So now's the time. I believe people are waking up. Even with things like, I don't know if you've heard of Extinction Rebellion. It's from Great Britain, and there's a new movement called Extinction Rebellion. So I know we talked about direct action here, and I think people might be now at our breaking point. We know the planet is getting near its breaking point.
Well, we see these fires in California.
Yeah.
You know, I mean, we see
the
super storms that we have, the intensity of the rain that we get now, and it's just going to get worse. So like I said, we have to stop digging. We have to put the shovel down to get out of this hole.
Put the shovel down and
go to the phone. Get involved.
Local activist groups, like People Over Pipelines, right? So we all have to, you know, the planet can't wait. We have no more time left. So call 609-292-6000.
That's right.
So everybody call Governor Murphy. Let's push him to progressive.
Damn the phones.
Get on the phones. And Agnes, I want to thank you so much for your time and talking with me this evening. And I want to thank you so much for all the hard work you've been doing.
Thank you. And thank you for bringing light to this situation.
Thank you so much. Have a good night.
Yeah. Bye-bye.
Bye. Take care.